Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Then I saw, and the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with the voice of thunder, "Come." I looked, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. When he broke the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come." And another red horse went out, and to him who sat on it, it was granted to take peace from the earth, and that men would slay one another, and a great sword was given to him. When he broke the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, "Come." I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard something like a voice in the center of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not damage the oil and the wine." When the Lamb broke the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come." I looked, and behold, an ashen pale horse, and he who sat on it had the name Death, and Hades was following with him. Authority was given to him over a fourth of the earth, to kill with a sword and with famine and with pestilence and by the wild beasts of the earth. What does that mean? How does it apply to you, if it even does? That's what we'll explore today. Welcome to the Sunday service. The book of Revelation is commonly traditionally believed to have been written by the Apostle John while he was exiled on the island of Patmos. Most scholars date the writing around 95 or 96 AD during the reign of the Roman Emperor Domitian. There's some debate among scholars, with a minority suggesting it could have been written earlier during the reign of Nero, but the late first century is more widely accepted. Today, even as we've advanced technologically and sociologically, socially, the fascination with the apocalyptic scenarios persists because it encapsulates fundamental questions about what it means to live, die, and to leave a legacy. So I want to dig into it. The four horsemen of the apocalypse are symbolic figures mentioned, obviously, in the book of Revelation, and they represent four calamities that are said to come at the end of the world. Each horseman rides a horse of a different color and symbolizes a specific type of catastrophe. So the white horse, the horse of conquest, the rider on the white horse is often associated with conquest or victory, carries a bow and wears a crown, symbolizing a force that conquers or takes control. The red horse is symbolic of war and bloodshed. He carries a large sword and is given power to take peace from the earth, causing people to fight one another. The rider on the black horse is representative of famine. He carries scales, symbolizing the scarcity of food and the weighing of small portions. This horseman often reflects a time of great economic hardship and food shortages. The final horse, the pale horse, is emblematic of death itself, and Hades, the grave, follows closely behind. This horseman symbolizes widespread death through various means like disease, disasters, and plagues. Together, these four horsemen represent the chaos and suffering believed to precede the end times, each bringing a different form of destruction upon the world. They've been interpreted in various ways across different cultures, religious traditions, and historical contexts. I'm going to go through some of the most popular. From a Christianity standpoint, the four horsemen are seen as literal or symbolic events that will occur during the tribulation, a period of great suffering before the return of Christ. In this view, each horseman represents a specific calamity. The white horse is interpreted as symbolizing the Antichrist or false prophets, which carry with them deceit and the spread of false religion. The red horse signifies widespread war and conflict, foretelling global violence. The black horse is emblematic of economic collapse, famine, and starvation, with food becoming scarce and or expensive. Pale horse is representative of death by various means, war, famine, disease, and Hades, the underworld, following behind. Some see these four horsemen as symbols of recurring human conditions rather than specific future events. You've heard the saying that history doesn't repeat, but it rhymes. So in this interpretation, the horsemen represent conquest, the white horse, its ambition for power, imperialism, or ideologies that sweep across nations. War, or the red horse, talk about the inevitability of warfare and violence throughout human history. Famine, or the black horse, is the natural consequence of war, economic imbalance, which is scarcity and starvation or hunger. Death and the pale horse are the inevitable result of the previous three. Widespread death caused by everything we've been talking about, war, famine, and disease. Some others see these four horsemen as a reflection of actual historical events in the Roman Empire, particularly the crisis that occurred in the first and second centuries AD. The white horse being the Roman military conquests, the red horse being internal civil wars, the black horse being economic troubles, and the pale horse are the plagues that devastated the empire. From a modern psychological or philosophical perspective, great thinkers like Carl Jung interpret the four horsemen as representing forces within the human psyche. Horsemen are viewed as symbolic of the destructive tendencies within individuals and societies. Conquest is the ego's drive for dominance or control. War is inner conflict, anger, and aggression. Famine is emotional and or spiritual deprivation. Death is symbolic of the ultimate reckoning with our mortality and the consequences of unchecked destructive forces. Some other modern interpretations of this are allegories for geopolitical forces that shape world events. The white horse represented imperialism, different political ideologies like nationalism or totalitarianism. The red horse is representative of the constant presence of warfare, violence between nations. Black horse is economic crises, class struggle, the impact on different resources. The pale horse is representative of the consequences of war, of exploitation. It's disease, it's poverty and death on a very, very large scale. Certainly in popular culture, these show up quite a bit as well. A really famous movie is Tombstone. And that was certainly a scene during Tombstone when this was referenced. But they appear in books, movies, and video games, and are representative of different kind of apocalyptic events. The white horse is sometimes depicted as technological or political control, reflecting our fears of surveillance and living under a dictator. Red horse is nuclear war, large-scale conflict. The black horse is an environmental catastrophe or economic collapse. Think climate change. Think unsustainable consumption of resources. Pale horse is global pandemic, widespread societal breakdown, chaos. Some other interpreters view the four horsemen as representing the moral consequences of our actions, particularly our failure to live justly and ethically. In this sense, conquest is the arrogance of unchecked ambition. War is the destructive result of anger and violence. Famine is the moral responsibility of wealth distribution and caring for people that don't have as much or are needy. Death is the representation of our overall failure to act in a moral way. So when you think about all the different ways that this passage from Revelations has been interpreted and adapted by different religions and psychological thinkers, philosophical and modern pop culture, each one emphasizes a different aspect of human nature, the human experience, ranging from literal end time prophecies to symbolic representations or reflections on war, on power, and on morality. We human beings have, for a really long time, probably forever, been preoccupied with the idea of end times or some kind of catastrophic ending to the world. Think about our love, and this is certainly me, I love post-apocalyptic type movies or shows. I don't know why we like that so much, but it's an interesting thing for sure. And it's recurring through many cultures and time, and it's deep-seated concerns about our future. It's concerns about survival and how there are consequences for our actions. So different apocalyptic traditions show up in Christianity, obviously, what we've been talking about, but they also exist in Islam and Hinduism and North mythology. And all these prophecies commonly depict a world-ending battle followed by a final re-judgment and or rebirth. There's a moral reckoning which is taking place. I think that we all have a desire for justice and wanting to see things balanced, the books to be cleared. In religious views, it is often a moment of moral reckoning and divine judgment, culmination of history where good and evil are ultimately resolved. We want resolution. And that can be a source of fear and or hope for people who are believers. Throughout history, we have experienced devastating wars and famines and plagues and natural disasters. It feels like these are happening all the time. And they can, each one of them, if you are experiencing it firsthand, certainly. And now that we're so close to everything, just because we have such a free flow of information, it could feel like the end. The Black Death in the 14th century wiped out a third of Europe's population. World wars and nuclear threats in the 20th century made us think that the world was coming to an end. Events of the Cold War bringing existential dread of a nuclear holocaust. And I think that we're pretty close to that today as well. Each one of us as an individual.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.
Many individuals have a fear of death. We're acutely aware of our own mortality, of the finite nature of our existence, and that can lead to certainly anxiety about the end of it for ourselves and for civilization in whole. And end time narratives externalize this internal fear of death, projecting it onto the greater world around us. And certainly uncertainty, by very definition, the future is uncertain. And this uncertainty drives us to speculate about how things are going to end, whether through natural disaster, human conflict, or some kind of a cosmic event, and meteor hits the Earth. Who knows? If you are a thoughtful person, there are plenty of existential reflections. Martin Heidegger, Camus, these people have, both those philosophers have deeply explored or contemplated the end of life. And forcing us, individual human beings, to contemplate what the very purpose of our existence is. That focus on an end time hastens us to consider our values, the way that we're living, the significance of our life, and what would happen if things did go too far. And it also causes us to have a reflection on the impact that we human beings have on the world around us, that while progress is an incredibly positive, inherently positive thing, that there's a flip side to all of it, the damage that we're doing to the natural world, all of these things. And certainly in science fiction and popular culture, again, plenty of post-apocalyptic dystopian fiction from Mad Max, The Walking Dead, like I've been talking about. So, and it's always repeating. Again, history may not repeat, but it certainly rhymes. Some traditions like Hinduism and some other interpretations of the Mayan cosmology see time as cyclical rather than linear. So in those views, civilizations rise and fall in a recurring cycle, and the end times are merely the end of one age and the beginning of another. This idea persists in secular thought, with historical theories suggesting that empires and civilizations follow a life cycle that include an inevitable decline. Thinking about the end forces us human beings to reflect on our actions regarding our relationship with the environment, other animals, and our future generations, our kids, our grandkids. And so I think that that's certainly a positive thing. It's a self-awareness, struggling with our own humanity, and again, the finite nature of our existence, but that if we're not careful, we're going to leave our beneficiaries, our future generations, with problems rather than inheriting a wonderful place and wonderful situations. I think that we're really wired to think about beginnings and endings, particularly in terms of time and existence, whether you're looking at it from a psychological, philosophical, or religious perspective. We have a hard time with and struggle with finality. So in a lot of ways, thinking about end times, that can be a mirror reflecting our own fears, hopes, and the moral consequences of our individual and collective actions. And while we have certainly advanced technologically and socially, it doesn't mean that we're not still thinking about this kind of stuff. So these are really big questions. Are these things you think about? Do you ponder end times? Do you think about your own existence, the finite nature of your existence? I think, like everything else in life, the different stages of our individual lives shape the way that we look at and think about not only our day-to-day existence, but also our long-term existence and what legacy that we're going to leave to our kids and, God willing, our grandkids. And I don't think about legacy from a perspective of what or how my children will remember me, although I certainly want them to think of me as a good person who worked hard to not only improve my life, but the lives of the people that I came in contact with, that I engaged in meaningful, important work, that I took life like I meant it. But I think more about legacy as what is the world that we and I play a role in that are handing to the next generation, to the next generations, as it would be for my children, because I've enjoyed so many different opportunities and lived so many different wonderful experiences and will continue to do so. And I want my kids to have that same opportunity. And in a lot of ways, I think that we are, as things are progressing in a really positive fashion, they're also progressing in a really negative way. When we're lifting more and more people out of poverty, the majority of Americans are now overweight. We're struggling financially. We are struggling mightily from a political standpoint. And from a rulemaking standpoint, we are moving further away from consensus and closer to the lack of consensus and friction and conflict. And as I get older, I have a desire to try and be more, for lack of a better term, evolved, to be more actualized, self-actualized, to pursue some form or fashion of enlightenment where I am getting past and moving past my impulsive desires, my appetites, and moving towards a greater good. I don't know that I've ever necessarily articulated or thought about that, at least not all the way through, but that's probably the term that makes sense, is what's my role in the greater good. And I'm going off track here a little bit, but I know fundamentally all that we can do is tend to the parts of our garden that we can reach. I can't fix everything, but I can take care of the things, my locus of control, so I can control myself and I have control and influence over my family and my loved ones, and I have some control and influence over my community. And through the work that I do, certainly here and in other arenas of my life, I have influence there. And those are the things that I choose to focus on, understanding that without question. Without question, my actions have an impact. I would far prefer to have those actions result in a positive impact than neutral and certainly not negative. But we'd love to hear what you think. Love to hear your interpretations of this and your thoughts and how you grapple or not with the end and rebirths and end of times and this, that, and the other thing. So, as always, do your part by doing your best.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.